Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom to all my Hebrews throughout the four corners of the earth. It's time to sound the shofar, because this is a day that the Most High has made. Brothers and sisters, let's go before our Father in prayer. Sisters, with your head covered, let's honor our Abba, for who he is. Now, I do feel like praying this morning, so y'all get ready, because we're in some spiritual warfare. I, myself, and all my Hebrews. Start off with our Father's prayer, which is our Abba, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to establish this sign between us and you, that we show forth to our families, our neighbors, the whole world, that the Sabbath, the Shabbat, ain't nothing to play with. Thank you for grace and mercy, but we want to find out how much more we can do to get closer to you. Father, we need you. We love you. We thank you for giving us the ability to overcome our obstacles and our trials only because of your grace. But we know that our trials come to make us strong. Father, we need you to begin to intervene and intercede on behalf of the family scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. Satan, you don't have any victory because no weapon formed against us can prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn, and greater is that that's in us than anything that's in the world. Father, you've already provided for healing. You've already provided for forgiveness. You've already provided mercy. May our people walk into it and be steadfast. I thank you that we have the ability to hold fast to these commandments on the Shabbat. So it is the commandments that we must keep and we will focus on. May we begin to focus as a people, as Israel, as Zion, more on the commandments and not the camps and not the various doctrines and the fightings and the rivalries. Father, these things are sowing discord amongst Israel. We're getting confused and sidetracked, but we need spiritual guidance today. I thank you that you already warned us that when we're swept and clean, things would happen in our lives where Satan would try to come back. But I know he can't do anything unless you allow it. So that means he's already defeated. So I declare victory and I stand in the liberty wherewith you've given me authority. And I ask that you heal people that hear my voice today. Somebody's sick. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody's on their back. Somebody has given up. Somebody has filed for divorce. Somebody is at the bridge about to jump. Somebody has lost all their jobs, all their cars. I'm praying for Israel to keep focused on you. For you said those that suffer with you will reign with you, and weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So we proclaim it. I thank you for it in advance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, you on that phone?
Well, I was getting ready to tell the sisters that we're on. So.
You are tuned into Blueprint for Life. And it's been a couple of weeks. Got a chance to get some rest and relaxation.
A couple of weeks for you.
You jumped in this week and did that show. How many listens did you have?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay, we're not going to start. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks for myself, but it's good to be back with the family and to keep this going. But all praises be to the Most High that this show has been on for about 10 years. So we're being consistent, and we won't give up or stop, but I will take a trip to the coast every now and then to reflect on the goodness of the Most High, because he wants us to enjoy our life. He said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. This is a part of Atlas Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly, and it's also Social Change Action Network. But Blueprint for Life, we focus strictly on the statutes, laws, and commandments, because that's what we do on the Shabbat. We stay in the Word. Here's a few more things we do on the Shabbat and on this lesson. We're not supposed to cook, not supposed to shop, not supposed to go out, not supposed to think our own thoughts, speak our own words, speak gossiping, especially all the Ten Commandments, bearing false witness, telling lies. We're supposed to focus up. And I realize it's very, very important, and we're going to go into some of that today. There's no such thing, even though I'm talking about rest and relaxation, there's no such thing as taking a break, because Hashatan is waiting to kick somebody's behind these days. They've turned that CERN machine up to 12. If it's a 10, if 10 is the max, it's at 12. So things are a little bit off the chain. So we're going to get into some of that. All praises to the Most High. I want to say shalom to Brother D, who's also joining us. Shalom, Brother D.
Shalom, Brother B. Shalom, Sister Tamar. I'm the invisible creature that Brother B has been talking about. He shines some light on me, and I'm here to get in, fit in where I get in, or get in where I fit in.
Yeah, I was like, brother, this brother needs to just go on and call in. He'd be texting, giving me some information. I'd be like, yeah, he's got the info in front of him. Come on live and share it with us, but I'm glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Brother V. Well, all praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Tamar in the beginning, because she has some things she wants to share. And we'll just talk about that, herb of the day.
Okay. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in to Law Talk, our Blueprint for Life Shabbat lesson. I'm so glad that you guys have continued to stay with us even during our break time. You're still here, and we're ready to come back and work for the Most High and just fellowship. So all praises to the Most High, and thank you again. So on Tuesday, which is the Heart of a Hebrew Woman, I did a show about money. We always hear them. Money is the root of all evil, right? So I did a show on that, basically just encouraging women to be wise on the use of money and how we're supposed to use the finances that the Most High gives us through our job to help people. So I briefly touched on that, but I didn't give a herb of the day because I think that, I don't know why I didn't give a herb of the day, but anyway, I'm going to give two. Today I'm going to do a herb and I'm going to do an oil. And the reason I'm going to do an oil is because sometimes we go into our health markets and we'll see all these different herbs, all these different pills, but they also have oils. And I know myself and probably others, you walk down and like, what is this oil for? Or, you know, will this help in certain areas? And then when you ask someone who's at the store, of course, they're all about sales. And they may or may not be giving you the information you need to help you. So moving forward, I'm going to do an herb, and then I'll do an oil. And then the other one, there's a tincture that I'll probably add on as we go throughout the month, multi-rolling. So today, the herb today is going to be wheat grass, and that's wheat, like wheat bread, grass. There is no known drug interaction. Wheat grass is a rich nutritional food and a blood cleanser. It is considered to be one of the superfoods, and it is used to treat cancerous growths or other disorders. It reduces growth of tumors. It fights unfriendly bacteria. It increases energy. It reduces toxins in the blood, expels metals from the body. It nourishes and cleanses the colon. And so that is wheatgrass. Now I'm going to go to the oil of the day that we're going to talk about is coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
Since we just got back from the island and drank some actual coconut coconut water or milk. Let's talk about coconut oil. So as you know, it's an antibacteria. Coconut oil has the essential MCT, which is medium chain triglycerides, which are burned for energy instead of stored as fat like the LTC, which is a long chain triglycerides. These MTCs are what is found in mother's milk and is easily digested. It gives cells firmness and integrity. It's easier for calcium to absorb into the bones. It protects the liver from the toxins effect of alcohol and certain drugs. It enhances the immune system. It utilizes essential fatty acids properly. It strengthens the heart because of the need for saturated fats in our diet. It protects against harmful microorganisms in the digestive tract. And it has been used for weight loss, diabetes, viruses, herpes viruses, AIDS, thyroids, measles, flu, and for those who are underweight as well. So that is coconut oil. So the herb of the day was wheatgrass, and the oil was the coconut oil. And like we always say, we're not physicians, we're not herbalists, we're not nutritionists, dietary people, but we're all about helping our people, giving information that will help with healing of their body, their bones, their organs, and so. Go ahead.
No, those scriptures, you still have a full scripture that you bring up?
Let him.
Go ahead, Brother Dean.
Yes, Sister Damar, thank you for that wheatgrass. Back in the day, I used to drink that because it was a flavor of the day. Had no idea what it was actually doing for me. Now I need to get back on that now that I know what it does for us.
Yeah, so many things we need to put in our body so we can endure to the end. Just so we can keep it going, Brother D.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the things that are in the store, and again, you have to be mindful, especially with some of these herbs, that you're not getting capsules that are, laced with like shellfish or pork and things
right.
It has to be natural because, some of you may be doing more harm than good by getting those capsules that are not organic or natural, as they say. And so that's why a lot of times we get the actual herb outside of the capsules, and then we drain it into our water to make tea.
Right.
But yes, Brother D, I heard wheatgrass. I never knew what it was for, too, until I did the research on it. And I was like, I may want to start doing just a little bit. But it says for you to take anywhere from 100 mg to 1,000 mg 3 times a day.
Wow.
So.
3 times a day. And the best forms to take that in, you says with the tea or make it as a tea, or there are other, what are the other forms?
You can find it. It'll shop wheatgrass over at Jamba Juice, free advertisement, and give you a shot or two.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to get it real quick. Hopefully it's not GMO.
Yeah.
But it does oxygenate the body. Did you say that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it cleans. It's cleaning off the body, bacteria, metals,
mm-hmm.
And it fights tumors and bacteria. So, I mean, I think Whole Foods and other advertisements, they have wheatgrass too, not in capsules. It's like a form of a grain, I think. I believe I've seen it. And then you mix it with water and you drink it. Now, I don't know how it tastes, but I've seen that as well.
Yeah,
it never did taste that well. It never did taste that well, but I just drink it on down.
That's right. If it tastes good, that means it's not good for you. So, in most cases.
Well, some of us used to drink shots of tequila, so we can just switch up, leave that alone, and drink that shot of wheatgrass.
Hallelujah.
It's not that bad, boy.
Right.
You got anything else about
this? No, I'm done with the herbs, but I just want to make the announcements again through our week again. Tuesdays,
mm-hmm.
Heart of a Hebrew Woman at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Wednesdays, Elder B and Brother D, they'll do the Inspirational Wednesday, Most Willing. Thursday, form. I think Brother B and I are going to talk about doing something on Wednesday together, or I don't know. We'll have to get that together. And then Friday is Preparation Day. Saturday, again, we have our Shabbat service. And so we do have a couple more High Holy Days that are coming up. We have Day of Atonement. We have Trumpets. And
Tabernacles.
Day of Trumpets, Day of Atonement. And so we want to definitely make sure that we get together, or you guys get together with people in your area and fellowship, celebrate these High Holy Days. Most High Willing, beginning either at the end of this month or beginning of next, we're going to continue to do our fellowships every Shabbat. So we're ramping up. We ask anybody that's listening to us, if you want to be a part of the fellowship, please contact us, and we will get it going.
One more thing on the herbs, Sister Tamar, before you get off. Now, the coconut oil, what are the forms that can be taken in, and do you have the dosage amounts?
was asking about the coconut oil.
Oh, the coconut oil. I'm sorry.
The different forms.
Oh, okay. They
actually have coconut oil at the store.
That's right.
Organic.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually just take a teaspoon every day and cook with. And use it on your body.
Right. But it's probably the coconut oil, just reading the research on it, it's best to use it when you're cooking versus the olive. I think it's better than olive oil.
It is.
I mean, you know, because they're starting to put strains of pesticides in the olive oil.
Yeah.
I read that too.
Yeah.
So if you can get a good thing of coconut oil, I know Trader Joe's, we used to go and get it there. And some of the other health markets, I think it'll be good. That's good to know. After, like I said, reading it, how it's easy to digest and it helps for your digestive tract. It's awesome. So,
all praises to the Most High. And I was asking Brother D to be on the show because I'm gonna move into another topic that I'm gonna ask Sister Tamar to stay here and you, Brother D, comment on. And just, you know, not bearing false witness, but just been a lot going on with our Hebrews out here, and we don't have to pinpoint. I know you know all of it, but the first one I want to start with, which is why I asked Tamar to stay here, is that Jezebel spirit still hasn't gone away, which is akin to witchcraft. And so I think it makes it hard for couples to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Because people quick to point the finger, like, why that sister reading it? Why is she?
Right, right. I brought that. I was listening to a message from my husband's name, my pastor. I was listening to the message, and, you know, just not so much, you know, of course, I could take things that are relevant and that I can take and do research on myself, but he brought about the scriptures about women learning in silence, and you know, he said, you know,
silence!
Women shouldn't be. There's a lot of women out there with their husbands, they're reading, they're teaching, and so you know, once he brought the scriptures about, and I told Brother B, I said, you know, I think by the scriptures, I don't think I should be doing this. I should be just teaching to the women and children, like it says.
And she would be able to help me to me.
Right.
But what I'm seeing is like you got one sister out there talking about, I ain't no GD Hebrew Israelite. And the scripture is clear in 2 Corinthians 11:22 that Apostle Paul said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Also, we know that Paul made it clear what a Hebrew looked like. Because he said that often he would go down to hide out in Egypt and blend in because he was of the tribe of Benjamin and he could do that. So, you know, but the sister just said that. You know, I wanted to make a reference to that too because I think, see, that was good teamwork that they had going on. But I noticed that sometimes the brother will sit back. Now, I'm not calling this sister that, but it's just adding to the confusion. But I think at the end of the day, Hashatan has people focusing on the wrong thing.
Right.
And but that Jezebel spirit is very moving outside of that. Those two, that Jezebel spirit is akin to seduction, wickedness, witchcraft, bewitching men. Come on, we had a sister on here teaching about penises.
Right.
And she married, and her husband ain't nowhere to be found. So.
So that's the thing. I, you know, like I said, I want to make sure that I am in proper order. I want to make sure that I am in my place. That way, you know, if someone's coming into the truth or getting an understanding and start reading the scriptures, they won't be so quick to say, well, brother, you got your wife teaching, or brother, you know, I'm not fooling with you guys because you allow women to teach. And that's not the case. Like Elder B said, that it was only to help him until he was able to find someone to come and read, because it's a lot of work, you know, trying to read and go through scriptures and getting the precepts. So I'm not going anywhere. It's just you won't hear my voice as much as in the past. I will help him find scriptures and have them readily available for him. But all praises to the Most High that Brother D has stepped up, and the other brothers. There's other brothers too.
Yeah, other brothers will come on. There'll be a lot of other different brothers coming on more often, and I appreciate it because I've done it by myself. But Brother D, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, especially on this Jezebel spirit thing. I was recently talking to or conversing with a Hebrew now, and she has been programmed with this the slave mentality that the Edomites have put on us. I mean, she's married to an Edomite, and somehow she equates so-called woman power with pretty much being mouthy. She's got herself convinced that the only way for the black woman is to hook up with an Edomite. And it just shows how, you know, like the Most High says, you know, my people suffer for the lack of knowledge. Now, she's convinced herself that this is the way for her to go. And she knows nothing about her culture and about the things that have been done not only to black men, but to black women also. I mean, a lot of them, they get out there and they, instead of being the helpmate that Yah has put them here to do, they want to get out and leave. Because she even mentioned that her husband is quiet and she's doing all the talking, you know, and it's totally out of line and out of order with how that household is being handled.
Yeah, the whole thing is just out of whack as far as how it's going under the radar, or people turning a blind eye to it and saying it's all right. And, you know, these seductresses, you know, they got that stuff from the fallen angels that came here and taught them these things on how to wiggle and jiggle and put on a little eyeliner and eye shade and shake it and seduce a man. And half these brothers, they love listening to these sisters teach. And one brother talking about, I listen to that sister teach all night, you know.
And they have no idea how that's destroying the black community. And just like we were talking about the other day, Brother D., all the abortions that have been done, and that's just, I mean, just destroying the black community. All those potential Hebrews, Bruce, instead of them being born and contributing to our community, they're being snuffed out even before they get a chance. And it's just a wickedness that Hasatan has, that spirit that Hasatan has put over them.
Right, and also, not only that, you know, our men are being effeminized and engaging. We talked about this 2 weeks ago about the, you know, the homosexuality gay movement, and it's like they're trying to push that on our people. So you're seeing, I mean, I think my Brother V and I, we were out yesterday. I mean, and they're just, and just seeing our people just opening themselves up just to be like other nations. Well, they do it, we going to do it. You know, we're the leaders of this world. We're the kings, the queens. We're supposed to be setting the standard of what, you know, people in our nation should be, not crossing over the fence and doing what these other nations do. So,
and this is why, you know, you got some people don't want us railing against each other, but Isaiah 58 said, "Let's lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. Cry out loud, spare not." So we're actually not supposed to let the sins and the blood be on our hands, as Ezekiel talks about. But they've created laws now that if we lift up our voice like a trumpet in Zion and cry out loud against these sins and try to avoid Ezekiel, they got laws now where they want to throw us in jail. But are you willing to go to jail?
Right.
Are you willing to die for this gospel? I mean, our essential duty might be to be like Paul and preach in the prison where the majority of the Hebrews are.
Well, yes, and as we know, the Most High, that homosexual spirit, that's an abomination to him. That doesn't look good in his eyes. And they want to put black people out in front. They look at Jay-Z just recently, recently come out. His mom is supposed to be come out as being homosexual. Now, this is a woman that's, I had four kids already. Now, all of a sudden, that spirit's on her, and she's homosexual. But they want us out there. But the little known fact that people don't focus on is that there is rampant racism in the homosexual community as far as whites toward blacks. But, you know, it's not something they want us to be out there. Go ahead.
You're right. It is rampant out there. They think that they're getting putting themselves set apart from us that are doing right by the Bible. And so they're getting into this lifestyle. But you're right. They're definitely that they are gay, whatever they are, gay white men and women. They still don't like blacks, gay black people. You could think they have their own community. Oh, come on, your family. You're not family. That they're just setting them up for failure. But it's unfortunate to hear that. I didn't know that about Jay-Z's mom. But it is rampant because they keep trying to push it to say that it's okay. And it's not okay.
Well, maybe you could talk about that on
Tuesday,
Most High Willing.
Most High Willing. But yeah, all in all, like don't want to get off topic, just saying that, yes, I'll still be here helping behind the scenes. I want to make sure that I'm still being a help meet, making sure that Elder V has what he has, the tools he needs to help them bring forth these lessons. But you just won't hear my voice as much. Unless we're doing like a couple things, you'll catch my voice on Tuesdays to the women and children. All right?
Praises. You know, unfortunately, you know, there's only about 42% of, you know, black couples that are married, black men. But of those 42%, well over 80% of them are married as a black couple. You know, the Most High tells us that we are supposed to marry within our own. But, you know, because of the spirit that is put on a number of us, we stray from that.
Right.
And it's simply because of past hurts and identity crisis that we have within ourselves and just a plethora of things. Again, trying to be like other nations and just not really identifying who you are. You know, if our brothers and sisters cannot identify themselves in this Bible, they're going to look to other nations. They're going to look to other gods. They're going to look to other things that will glorify them, sort of say, to help them know, oh, yeah, I'm part of this, I'm part of that. But truly, on all actuality, you are in this Bible. You just need to open it up, read it, and take hold to it and go from there.
Yeah, but the thing I was thinking about was, I don't know why that popped up. What you just said, because of past hurts, neglects, these are the essential foundations of a Jezebel spirit that will bring in that spirit of witchcraft because it's anger. And that is that rebellion and disobedience, all that anger results into that witchcraft. This is not the lesson today, but I just wanted to talk about that because that, in essence, along with the confusion amongst Israel, is an attack of the enemy right now, where you got so many new people coming into the truth, and everybody's on the computer preaching and teaching and showing up and got a doctrine. And in the midst of that doctrine, they're fighting the other people or talking about the other people. So we're looking pretty silly right now because the Most High said, I am not the author of confusion. So, and I go into Mark 13. Let's see, where's that at? I want Mark 13 and 22. It's for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived in this hour. So this is something we have to hold fast to. I feel in my spirit to pull back from the topic, but I do want to say this. What the heck is everybody thinking about? Talking about the doctrines, the names, and who got this right and this and that. I mean, even with certain people saying that the scripture was messed with or tampered with, I'm in my mind trying to figure out, okay, somebody's forgetting that the Most High Yah, nothing can happen to his word unless he allows it. Nothing. And the word is his son. So nobody can tamper with the word unless he allows it. But then at the same time, you're not going to understand the word unless you have a teacher. But it's Yeshua HaMashiach spoke in parables because he wanted it to be revealed by the Ruach HaKadosh. So it's not just going to be right there in plain sight. But anyway, my point is, you can talk about the fact that people tampering with scrolls and the word, but at the end of the day, the Most High is sitting back listening to see, looking to see, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the holy days? Are you going to keep the Passover? Are you going to keep the Ten Commandments? So why are we focusing on lessons who talk about, I got a new revelation, I got a new class, I got a new website, come listen to this, oh, we got it going over here. This is foolishness. And I think we lose the focus.
Exactly, Brother B, because, you know, it says, be ye hearers and not, be ye doers and not hearers of the word. And a lot of these people, you know, they get full of themselves. Instead of humbling themselves before the Most High, they're exalting themselves. And Luke 18, it says, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. We have to follow.
Right.
We have to follow the Most High in His teaching, because He has laid out the blueprint for how we should lead a just and righteous life.
Right. And I hope to maybe get into some things today to give people some ability to observe so-called leaders and see, are they operating in certain capacities that Scripture said that elders would operate in. Because you got people introducing meditation, yoga, transcendental meditation, and these Jezebels are quick to talk about your energy and your, you know, pineal gland and a higher being, and the, you know, just taking things to that witchcraft level, pretty much, you know.
Definitely, and that goes to, you know, instead of focusing on the Most High and putting your trust in the Most High, people are turning to men to listen to and to get their teaching from. And where some people do give you good teaching, but the thing is, at the end of the day, you focus on the Most High. I mean, when you hear something that doesn't sound quite right, you go back to the manuscript, and that will let you know whether or not what you're hearing is righteous.
That's right. That's right. Well, all praises to the Most High. I just want to comment on that since I haven't been on for a while, because I've been watching and listening, ears to the street, seeing what's on there. And, you know, because of YouTube and Facebook, boy, it's, God, I want to say that word, but they popping out the woodworks. I mean, it's a new ministry and teaching everywhere. And, It's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I ran across a guy who was trying to pretty much downplay the slave trade and the fact that the people who came over here were Hebrews and they were doing it. He was trying to pretty much say that that was pretty much irrelevant, didn't really happen, and how were they able to get all these people over here, you know, and they didn't have motors here. I mean, that slave trade happened over centuries, you know, starting at what, the 14th, 15th century, they were doing that up until at least the actual slave trade, up until the 18th century, I believe. But the issue is, that is what was happening, but he was speaking against that. But there are a lot of snares and traps out there. People try to confuse you and send you in the wrong direction. You need to be, by staying in the manuscript, you can discern what seems to be right and what isn't.
Right. There it is there. All right, well, we're going to move into the statutes, laws, and commandments. So I want to see, before I get into this lesson, a real quick lesson today. You got your book with you, Brother D?
I have my book.
Let's look at, I want to deal with the commandments in the New Testament, in the New Covenant.
But
and,
Brother B?
Yeah.
Brother B? But we're under grace,
sir.
Right? we're under grace, so, you know, those commandments,
sir,
are just a suggestion, right?
Yes, sir. We're under grace. A That means you want the grace because you want to eat a pork sandwich or something. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, what people want to do, they want to take one and not the other. They say, I mean, grace and the law, they're both important, and they're both things that we need to take on ourselves. Yeah, you can't have one and decide you don't want the other. It doesn't work that way.
Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? Most High Yah forbid. And I tell people all the time that grace is there for you to make a 180-degree turn, because he knew we were going to make mistakes. You know, we're making mistakes all the time.
Yep. Proverbs 19 and 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despises his ways shall die.
There you go. Read that one again.
He that keep, this is Proverbs 19 and 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth own soul, but he that despises his ways shall die.
Yeah.
So, you know, the law is still relevant and it's still important, but, you know, we've been taught for years, especially as it came up in the Christian church, that the laws are no longer. And, you know, and they misinterpret Jesus, Yeshua, he freed us from the blood covenant because he shed his blood for us. He freed us from the animal sacrifice because his blood has covered us.
That's correct. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So, you know, the curse of the law was that if we caught you in adultery, we would stone you to death. You know, if you stole something, we cut off your hands. These all these things he redeemed us from, and we have grace now when we make a mistake. So, but it does not give us a license to sin.
There you go. Exactly.
Now,
there are a number of people. I'm sorry, Brother V. But there are a number of people. You know, they go to church, their so-called church, every Sunday. You know, they ask for grace, and they go back out that week, do the same things that they did, that they asked forgiveness for. Now, the Most High is no fool. I mean, he knows if you're sincere, and by doing that, you're not sincere.
Caught up in the traditions of man. It's amazing that these people feel secure a ritual, you know, a tradition. And when you take that from them, they're like, so what do I do now? Keep these commandments. And they don't want to give up them bacon sandwiches.
And like I said, the Most High is trying to get us to lead a healthy life. Because as we know, if you look into that pork, when you do look into it, I don't see how a person can continue to eat it, because I've told people some of the things that it does to you, the parasites, it holds and everything, but some of them, they still want to go in there. I mean, I have family members, you know, they still want their pork, though. You know, I talk to them and try to, educate them on it, but, you know, some people, they're not ready to be educated.
Yeah, they'll tell you that, you know, my grandma, family, and all of them ate it their whole life. Yeah, but they died of high blood pressure, heart disease, and all that. You know, they're not looking at, they didn't have a healthy life. You know, that's why we deal with a lot of joint problems, gout. Next thing you know, we're on medication, and these Edomites are shooting us up with stuff because my mom and my daddy did it. So, I mean, what that got to do with you keeping the commandments?
Yes, because if you look at the Igbo tribe, the Limbas, they still practice the teachings of the Most High, and they follow the law. Those people don't have all those diseases in that community. You know, they're not praying from high blood pressure and all this other stuff because they're not eating and doing these things that are not good for the soul and the body.
Yeah, those are some brothers I'd like to go visit over in Africa, because the way we have it over here in America, and I'm not trying to flee. I'm not with the flea camp. But the way we have it over here in America, we got to read the back of every label, because it might say, you know, that it's made of turkey or something like that, but they'll sneak some pork in. potato chips, there's sneaking pork in. There's sneaking pork in everything. Now, don't y'all get happy because we're talking about lobster, crab, and shrimp, too. You know, you're not supposed to be eating none of that stuff. And they're all parasites. They're all bottom feeders. They're the garbage disposers of the earth.
And that's why the Most High put them on earth, to be the scavengers. Not for us to be eating.
I want you to get that Mark 10 and 19, but you can start at 17.
What's that again, Brother B?
Mark 10 and 17.
Were you wanting me to read that?
Yeah, can you read that?
Okay. And when he was gone forth into the way, they came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?"
And then, keep going.
Okay. And Yeshua said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yah. Thou knowest the commandment."
Right, keep going.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said,
"Yeah, I mean, like you read Proverbs, and here we have the HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, for those listening that don't know, saying the same thing, but you're saying, are you up there in church every Sunday saying, I want to be like Jesus? And he kept all the feast days, and he's telling the man, the rich ruler right here, that if you want to get in, you got to keep the commandments. So just like Proverbs, it lines up. There's just no getting away from it, but the Jedi mind trick has been played on our people successfully, and they have been conditioned to think, all I need is grace.
If I may, also, yes. I'm going to read Mark 10 and 21. Then Yeshua, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now, Yeshua is explaining it that way, but you have people out there, certain leaders, pastors. One of them tried to tell me he was quoting the same scripture here, but he changed something when he says, "But sell everything you have, or take everything you have and give it to him, and then come follow him." And it just shows you how they'll twist the word to try to for their benefit, to try and gain riches or whatever, and that's not what it's about.
So the pastor said he was poor and he needed that money, huh? He took a vow of poverty, yeah. So he needed that money.
Give it to him, and he supposedly will distribute it to the poor, which the poor never see it. Because you see all these pastors with these living mansions, you know, buying jets and all this stuff, you know. And you know, and some of these, their flock, they think that these people are righteous and that, you know, that they deserve to have all this stuff, but that is not what that was meant for. You're supposed to be giving to the poor and the widows, but that's the last place. Because if some of their flock come and ask them for some help, they can't help them.
Right.
Because the money's already tied up in their pleasures.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing is that I'm amazed right now. I'm always amazed every time I read the word, even if I've read it 100 times, that he said, outside of the commandments, I need you to go sell all your stuff. Let me see how bad you really want it. And I think, now this is the Messiah saying this. I want to see how bad you want it. And most people don't want it. People in church, people in Hebrews, Christian Hebrews, Hebrewites, nobody really wants it that bad. Nobody's really trying to ascertain to a higher height. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you're trying to learn and you're trying to move forward every day and to go past the Ten Commandments or that you make mistakes. But if you really want it bad, you keep going, you keep moving, and you actually move past the Ten Commandments. You may wear fringes on the holy day, is, you know, not mandated, but, you know, you'll try to do other things that we're not necessarily required to do, but you want to be closer to the Father. So as I look at this, the Messiah is making it clear that we have a mandate and a responsibility to take care of the poor along with keeping these commandments. So brothers and sisters, if you got you try to have 2 to 3 houses, someone, I got a house in New York and one in Texas and one out here, I'm supposed to be blessing another Hebrew. I'm just going to keep it real.
Exactly. And none of us, especially these days, you have 4 or 5 people in the family. What do you need a mansion for? You know, that money could be used better to help those people that do need help. And the other thing is that they'll quickly say, yeah, you can't sin. Don't sin. Sin is wrong. But then they tell you you don't have to follow the law. And 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For the sin is the transgression of the law. You know, but how can you not follow the law and say that you're not sinning?
That's very true. Very true. So, because people will do just enough with the commandments, and actually after the Shabbat, they're not really keeping no commandments. You got people sitting by the front door talking about when the sun go down there, because I got to get to the club. I can't wait to get to the stove. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not thinking about this fellowship, and I can't wait to bust up out of here. But we should look at the fact that this is a glorious, blessed time. You can be with your family and have a break bread, do the Most High Supper, do our Elohim Supper, and get as much teaching as you can. It's a joyful time to just shut it down and say, I'm safe in my house with the Ruach HaKadosh. Okay. Are you still there, bro?
I'm still here.
Like okay, I thought I had lost.
I'm trying to get in where I can fit it.
All right. No worries. So what I was saying with the go ahead.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't wax as eloquently as you, Brother V, but I'm going to do what
I
can.
Don't start. So, brothers and sisters out there, according to the law, because this is our section on the law, focus on the Ten Commandments. And let me say this, that we got to work harder on the Big Ten, the ones that Creflo say that they're all done away with. But that's why he asked him for a $60 million jet, and his daughter turned around and slapped him or something like that. She didn't honor her father as soon as he said that and preached that. We were saying that you got to be mindful of the subtleties of breaking the ten. It is so easy today to bear false witness, which is lie or gossip. People pull you in all the time, and we got to watch out for that on the Sabbath of getting caught up into talking about somebody because we first begin using our own words, and in the process of using our own words, we're gossiping. So you're offending in the commandments and on the Shabbat. You might as well go get a spam sandwich.
Exactly.
Because you're not being conscious, you're not focusing, you're not trying, you're not walking away from the person you are Sunday through Friday. You're not transitioning on the Shabbat to a person of a higher standard or maybe even lower standard where you're submitting yourself. So those subtleties we have to watch out for because people love to lie in a heartbeat. And then the other one is, what is the last one? Coveting. Man, coveting. Looking at somebody's stuff and saying, I want it. And but here's the flip side of that coin. Are you causing somebody to covet by doing what we call flossing? shining, bling bling, showboat. Is your wife coming around the brothers and sisters with a tight dress and a head wrap, a little cleavage showing? Same thing with the brothers. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm making it clear because, listen to me, and because that can happen, where even our Hebrews would be like, I wish I had a Hebrew. The wife will say, I wish I had a Hebrew husband like him. My man ain't nothing. He not even praying in this house, leading me, teaching me. That's covetousness. Because you're saying, but that brother might have a disability or learning, or it just may take more time for him to learn how to teach you, sister, and lead you into the word. So it's the subtleties of breaking the ten that we have to take a closer look at, because we under these curses of Deuteronomy 28. Go ahead, Brother D. I know because I can start.
Yes, and like you said, I think breaking the Sabbath is one of the commandments that is broken the most. Like I said, it's just because of the way we've been brought up. We do things and not even realizing some of the things we do that are against the Sabbath. Exodus 31:16 says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. I mean, it hasn't went away. We need to observe the Sabbath, but you know, we've been taught some things that take us away from it. Don't think they've accidentally taught us these things. It's all been done on purpose. There was a design to get it, another way to get us away from the Most High.
There you go. Yes, sir. There you go. It's throughout the generations. So I don't know why everybody want to skip on that. Throughout the generations.
Well, just like they said, they don't want to follow the commandments of the law because they want to live in sin.
And like
it's easy to live in sin.
Yeah, like you said earlier, sin is breaking of the statutes, laws, and commandments. So people have to be mindful of that. That's exactly what it is. So every time we're breaking these commandments, we're in sin. And I don't know if people understand that 2/3 of our people are going to be destroyed.
And it breaks your heart when you think about that.
It does. It does because and outside of it breaking my heart, it tells me that he's not playing. And I know that we might make mistakes and we don't have guarantees. None of us are guaranteed a position in the kingdom. But
exactly.
That's why
every day
we should be ready.
I'm sorry, Brother
B. We should be quick to get up. We should be ready to get up a lot faster. A just man falls down, you know, 7 times. But at the same time, we shouldn't put it in our heart to keep breaking these commandments or take them for granted, take them lightly. Especially these folks out here that don't even believe in the Messiah. But go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, and every day, you know, I ask the Most High to help me that I am deemed worthy to be a part of that 1/3 because we do things and we don't notice. That's why we every day you say your Lord's Prayer, and you ask Him to forgive you for any of the trespasses you've done, because sometimes you're doing it and you don't even realize you're trespassing against someone or you're breaking a law. So we need His help, and that's where we ask for grace.
Right. But it's also a heart issue, because even the Gentiles are spoken of in Romans, the 2nd chapter, and it talks about that there are some Gentiles that will have this have it written on their hearts. But okay, I'm gonna go to that scripture first, and then I want to talk about what you just mentioned. About us knowing and how will we know, because the Messiah actually told some people, you should rejoice that your name is in the kingdom. But let me look at this Romans 2, because I don't just be paraphrasing. Now he's talking about He's talking about Yah's laws up in here.
What verse are we on, Brother V?
Well, I'm in Romans, the second chapter, and this is I could get lost in this chapter, but I want to jump down to when he makes reference to the Gentiles. And he said for, I think, verse 14. And the verse before that is the verse you quoted, which says, for not the hearers of the law are just before the Most High, but the doers of the law are the ones that shall be justified. Justified is a guarantee. It's like an insurance policy. So one who's doing this. So we got folks that are sitting at home behind these computers and watching all these videos. They not doing nothing but listening. So your guarantee clause is when you start to do these things, like taking care of the homeless and feeding them and the poor, because they're going to always be with us, and trying to learn as many laws as possible. But here's the amazing thing when he talks about the small percentage of Gentiles that will make it into the kingdom. 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Now, let me explain contextually. Let me explain. He's saying the Gentiles weren't given the law. So that's why he's saying they don't have it. They're learning it. But he said in 14, they do by nature things contained in the law. So naturally, they have a propensity to start keeping the law because it has been written in a few Gentiles' hearts. So that becomes a law unto themselves because it wasn't given to them, but they're inclined to do it. And then 15, he says, which showed the work of the law written in their hearts. So even with us, it's a heart issue. That's why we're being distracted with all these camps, teachings, preachings, videos. It's a heart issue. Their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts. The meanwhile, accusing or else accusing one another. That's all deep stuff. I should have did the whole lesson on that right there. But it's in your conscience. So the breaking of the law, you should feel guilty. But if you're not keeping it at all, you probably don't, I don't know. You're just a hearer of the law.
Yeah, and as Israel, our commandment, to spread the word and spread the law. That's what we've
right.
been ordained to do.
Right. And Paul was getting into that, how there are a few Gentiles who are just going to adapt to it. They just get it. And it becomes natural to them. So, but listen to this too. Here's another. When Yeshua was saying to the 70 that he sent out in Luke, the 10th chapter. He was talking to them about giving them power to tread upon serpents and do all these great things. We can read Luke 10 and 18. He said, and he said unto them, I beheld Hashatan as lightning falling from heaven. 19, behold, I give unto you power. Now, I'm going to get into two things right here. I guess I'm just delving a little bit. And feel free to come in at any time, brother. He said, he was telling the 70 people that he had breathed the Ruach upon. He said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So
Hallelujah.
The ones that have this ability and this power have that assurance. But he's saying don't get stuck on the power. So we know our people are on a power trip, but let me ask you this, Brother D. How many people do you know right now and these camp leaders that are casting out demons and laying hands on the sick and treading upon serpents and scorpions? Are we seeing that?
Not only that, we'll see these same people walk by someone on the street that's asking you for something, walk by and give them nothing. And you also hear people, they say, well, you know, they're just going to spend it on drugs. I say, you know what? I do it to the glory of God. He will work with them. You know, that's why I do it.
Right.
But
they'll walk by someone. Yeah, he talked about that. You don't walk by your brother and tell him, I'll come back tomorrow or I'll give you something later. It's like you bless him on the spot.
That's something usually done, you know, outside the fact that they're doing all those other things. They're not even doing that thing, that little thing there that can be easily done.
Yeah.
The power of money is so strong on people. They'll get it, and, you know, they turn them into a new person, a different person, and, they want to hold on to it. And like I said, it's just, you know, you have to watch out for that. When you do get it, you need to watch out what you're doing with it and making sure you're being righteous with it.
Right. Right. So I guess there's a spirit that comes with that money where you just want to be free or you just want to be stingy.
Yeah, because I've seen, you know, people that you've got money, and the next thing you ask yourself, who is this? Because they're not the same person that you knew before.
Right. So I wanted to point that out because he told them that they were going to do these things through the power of the Ruach HaKadosh. They were getting a little excited, and he said, calm down, don't worry about all that, you focused on the wrong thing. He said, you better be glad that your name will be in that book. So you're trying to make it in the third. I'm seeing him tell us to stay focused, but to do the work, to have the power in your life, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. And these are essential because people, you know, we have no guarantees. But if you do the things that you hear the Messiah talking about, it's just a little bit more closer to that assurance. Because he said, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you and I called you and I sanctified you. And that's in Jeremiah 1:5. So you tie that precept in with Luke 10 and 20. You start to see like, oh, I see why things are working like this. And that's what I want to allude to today. When things work like to the point where he called you, he sanctified you, and he gave you power, and you see gifts operating in your life, you're going to go through hell and high water if you don't stay focused. You're going to go through hell and high water. Let's look at Matthew 12:44. Sister Tamar, you still woke over there?
I'm still up.
All right. I know it's the Sabbath, but stay with us.
You're right about that going through hell and high water, because before I, was wakened by the Most High, and before I started really, studying this Bible, because, you know, I could say, yeah, I read the Bible, but there was no discernment with it. I was just reading it because, you know, as you go, when you go to church, they're not calling on you to study. They just, you know, you listen to them and we'll tell you what you need to know. And you're not going to get close to the Most High by doing that. And like I said, I found that after getting it with the Most High, you see things start working out for you. In the past, what could go wrong would go wrong because you weren't with the Most High. And the Most High, you know, if he knows, and he does know, that you're someone that needs to be and that will be in his kingdom. He'll work. He's not going to let those
right.
Simple
right.
things that you do work out. But some of those people, you look at them, and they're in sin, all seem working out because they've already turned themselves over to HaShatan. And he's blessing them.
That's a key scripture. It brings me to I'm going to come back to Matthew 12, but it says, I think John 17, read this a couple of weeks ago, John 17:9, where Yeshua HaMashiach was saying, Jesus Christ, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I'm thinking I should go back up to 8, verse 8. I'm going to go to verse 8, 17 to 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they have received them, his disciples, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and they are mine, and I am glorified in them. And then he went on to say, verse 15, skip over, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. In other words, protect them. And then 17, yeah, exactly, sanctify them through thy truth. So he'll protect you and cleanse you through the truth, and the truth is the commandments. One more I want to get. Let's see. Another precept. You can find that scripture for me. First, I'm going to Romans 16:26. Brother D, you want to get Romans? Yeah, no. Yeah, Romans 16:26. But there's another scripture I'm looking for.
I'm at 16:26.
No, that's not the one I want.
But,
okay, Brother D, get 1 Peter 5 and 8. And I'm trying to think while I'm thinking of this scripture. I got it. First Peter 5 and 8.
Okay. Be sober, be vigilant,
yep.
Because your
yep.
adversary, the devil. Am I good?
No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, let me start over. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
Because remember when he came to the when he reported to the Most High with the other angels, he asked him, "Whence comest thou?" He says, "Walking to and from, and up and down in the earth," and he's out there looking.
The vigilant part tells us to always be looking, like always be on the lookout for him. Like, oh, there he go right there, you know. And then the sober part is like, yeah, when you've had one too many, you know what it is. You're setting yourself up. So, but the thing is that, and hey, I've been there. And I thank the Most High for his mercy, because as soon as Satan thinks he can get a crack, an opening, and he knows you're swept and clean. Let's not forget what I was getting ready to read in Matthew 12:44. He'll go back and get seven worse things and try to put them upon you. And then you're looking for deliverance. But the mercy in that is Mark 13 and 22. All these scriptures popping up in my head. Got to tell the Ruach to slow down. You see over there? I will perform the work that began in you until the day of Christ. And then the one I'm about to read is that if it were possible, Mark 13 and 22, even my elect would be deceived. So that one third, which are the elect, can't be touched.
Brother V, you said Mark 13 and 22. I'm looking at something else on that.
Wait, give me something. Hold on.
And what I have is, for false Christ and false prophets rise and shall show signs and wonders. I'm sorry, I'm out of line. You are reading the right one.
Go ahead, read the whole verse. I only read the bottom. Read the whole verse for
you. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So
right.
He's going to try and seduce us, and we have to be strong in his word.
Right. Very strong. So, and I say it like this. All that seduction and seducing and false prophets, you got to be vigilant. You go back to 1 Peter 5:8. You got to be looking like, nah, something ain't right about that brother right there. He making merchandise of the people. He got all his money. He big pimping and he, hold on. That's being vigilant so that you're not being seduced. And if all they're doing is making merchandise of the people and not operating in what we read about how the 70 had power to cast out demons and spirits, why aren't you doing that instead of building a mega church or whatever it is you're building? I'm sorry, what was that
exactly. Scripture
again?
Working with the sick and the poor.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said that's exactly right. Instead of spending that money on worldly things, you should be using that to work with the sick and poor to edify their life and to help them where they're needed.
These brothers are getting way too large. So I got one more.
Instead of having a ministry, what they have is a corporation.
Exactly. People are building corporations. So Philippians 1:6 saying, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. So he's going to finish what he started.
And what does Yeshua use to combat the devil's seductions when he tempted him after his 40-day and 40-night fast? He used the word.
He used
that's
the word.
That's how he battled him.
He used the word.
Yeah, and that goes to, studying as much as we can so that we will be able to use the word to fend him off.
Yeah, lest we forget David, I was talking to Sister Tamar, and we were talking about David, how they tried to give him a big old helmet and a big old sword, and he said, man, I can't wear all this heavy stuff. About to use what I have, which is a slingshot. And he was good at it. Picked up what was there, a rock. We can fight back these giants in our life. I mean, because we're going to have these trials. They're actually making us strong. They're actually taking us somewhere. But a lot of us have gifts and abilities to be able to fight Satan back. And I think that's important to remember. You may not be the biggest shot in town or whatever you don't think you possess, but you've got something that you can use that Hashatan don't like. That's important to remember.
If I remember right, that was Saul's armament that he was trying to give David. And Saul wasn't using it. He was cowering in the back because he was afraid of Goliath.
Right. Yeah. When I think about that scene, it seemed like Eli was just sitting there like, come on, we're going to get some. And everybody's scared, just standing around looking at it.
Yeah.
And here comes little David. What's wrong with y'all, man? Come on and kill this. Kill this fool. Quit, kill this clown. We ain't got all day.
And what we need to be cognizant of, when you are doing those things, that you give God the glory. Not saying this is what I'm doing. I did this. Me. You're doing things because Yah made it possible.
That's right.
How many times in the manuscript we've seen some of the Israelites go astray because they didn't give Yah the glory, and they wind up pretty much trying to deceive the people that this is what I did.
That's a very good point and a lot of wisdom, because most people do want to take his glory, and he is jealous. He does not play that.
Exactly.
It makes, makes me think about the book of Job. He said, wait a minute, where were you when I created this? And, you know, created the mountains and the sky and the tornadoes and the mastodon. Where were you? Who are you? You know, you get in big trouble with the Most High.
Exactly. Job's buddies trying to tell him what he should be doing, what he did, and all this stuff. And the Most High had to remind him who made all this possible, why you have what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, we were talking the other day about the Most High, you know, he is a jealous God. Plus, the Most High, he wants obedience from us. You know, he don't want your sacrifices and all. So he wants obedience. He wants us to be obedient to him. Because when people have tried to do something, like even when Saul said, you know, instead of getting rid of all those people and killing that king that he told him the king to kill, he's going to bring the king back, and and they're going to try and tell the Most High, well, see, we kept the good stuff so we can so that we can sacrifice you, but that's not what he asked you to do. He wanted obedience.
Hey, that's a good point. But do you know how many people, today would disobey him because he told them to kill everything and everybody in the camp? That was the 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, the dog, the little cat. You know these folks that they'd be like, I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But he wasn't playing because that was of another. He wasn't hate. There was another lineage, another seed. Offspring of Satan. He was like, y'all gotta kill this DNA up before they start to blend with y'all. You gotta kill them off and take this land.
Because he did, and then y'all said, okay, these people are gonna be a thorn in your side and a snare to you.
Right.
A trap and a snare.
Right. But you know, somebody would have seen that little cat looking at him with the little puppy dog eyes, like, I can't do it.
Exactly.
Animal cruelty.
And look at the extent that Abraham went to obey the Most High, ready to kill his kill Isaac because the Most High told him to. That was obedience. You had neither trust in the Most High.
There you go. There you go. Had his own son on the slab. Had his own son on the slab. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All praises to the Most High.
Long live the King.
Long live the King. Long live the King. Kwam Yasha'ala too to all our people out there. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we just hope and pray that that you were able to understand so many various components of when we fall, how he's got us, how he wants to have us, what he wants to give us, and what we need to be on the lookout for. Sound like a lot of work. Sometimes it is. But there's the payoff is great, the joy is great, and I think at the end of the day, it's like a brother that we know out here. Who's incredible because he's like, I don't know, he won't even tell us his age, 62, 70. But for 40 years, he's been a vegetarian, and he don't miss a day at the gym, works out and works 3 jobs, and he just, it's a process. And one thing is we have to be consistent with keeping these commandments. Can't keep them on Monday and not keep them on Wednesday. So we have to be consistent in order to be successful and then get a payoff so that there is a joy. And just keep on doing it. Just keep on going. And if you fall down, you get back up before them 8 demons come back and take over and make your state worse than it was the first time, because they will come. Man, we know Hebrews that didn't make it back. Fell in adultery, ended up dying out there. You know, it can happen. You got to hurry up and repent like David, who had the Most High's heart, because when he knew he messed up, talking about, who did what? Kill that man. Well, that man is you. Oh, my. Put my sackcloth ashes. I'm no longer the king. Let me repent. I'm about to fast and everything. So you got to fall down. Don't get caught up because I'm, trust me, linger in that sin. Here come them eight demons, and your state is going to be worse than it was at first because of your temporary passion, enjoyment, luxury. Don't get caught up in adultery. And I'm going to say that one first because sex sin is high in this hour.
Very high.
Very high. Very high. And they have to know that it's a demon in, let me say this, it's a demon inside the person that's tempting you because the demon desires to enjoy the act. And when that person gets on you, you picking up that spirit. That's the crazy thing about messing around with these Jezebels out here, because the book of Proverbs warns us of what will come upon us just for a quick moment. So it's just too dangerous right now with that CERN machine turned up to 20.
that's why you can't dwell on it. I mean, you know, that's what the Hasatan wants to do. He gets you to thinking about, especially that spirit of lust, there's something popping in your mind, but then you got to get back to the Word, get off that, because he wants you to dwell on it, because the more he gets you to dwell on it, the further he'll suck you in.
Right.
You got to
right,
be able
right.
to let that go.
Right. So it's definitely, it's not worth it to fall down and not want to get up because, you know, he said we're worse than a dog turning back to his own vomit.
Just like the sister I was telling you about earlier, I mean, like I said, she's given up not only on her people, but she's given up on the ways of the Most High because then programmed by the Edomites to believe certain things and to hate herself and to hate your own people. And you just giving up instead of being, if you can be strong in the Word or if you try to be strong in the Word, that'll strengthen you up and keep you on the path of righteousness. But if you give in to the things that they try to do to you, you're going to be lost.
Hey, you absolutely. If you give in, you're going to get jacked up.
Yeah, and we know that these days, I mean, they're attacking the Most High's people, his chosen. They're attacking them because he's the devil. He knows who you are. That Edomite knows who you are. And so that's why they're attacking you. And you need to realize that.
Yeah, because he is our full armor. I like that you said that, because also these demon spirits will jump into these police officers and have them shooting people down, attacking them, jumping into the court system and throwing laws at you and trying to mess with your livelihood, your family. And a lot of us don't know. I meant to say this. A lot of us don't know that these people know who we are if you're preaching the truth. And so they be out to get you. I just saw today where a Hebrew brother was on Facebook, and Facebook said, no, you can't use that name. So they took that page down. So they're starting to monitor all this religious activity on Facebook. There's so much going on, and now they're starting to arrest a lot of street preachers. If you don't stay in the game and vigilant, there's so many forms of where Satan will attack you. I think when we say that, a lot of people think I'm saying that, you know, like some demon from one of these movies is just going to jump out and jump in you. But it's also going to be a demon working through a person to attack you in your household and your kids. And you got to stay strong and just be vigilant, you know, for your family as well.
Well, it said, you know, the only people that don't know who we are is us. I mean, yeah, most of us, and those of us that have awakened, that y'all's awakened to the truth, you know, we know that now, but we went through most of our lives not knowing that either, not knowing who we were. Because, and there's a reason, too, when you look at it, and when they, in the schools, when they teach, you know, Black history, and they teach the slave trade, they only go back to, what, the 17th century, I believe it was. They don't go further back. That'll explain to you who these people were that they were bringing here through the slave trade. Because they don't want you to go back further than that, because you're going to find out things that they don't want you to find out.
it's the biggest secret in the world, and they'll pay whatever they have to pay to try to keep the secret going. But it's witchcraft, subliminal programming that's got our people blind and not seeing it. I heard somebody say, somebody said this, I heard this, how the hell is some Edomite savior going to come back and level the playing field when they got everything as it is? What would that happen for?
Who they coming back to save?
Exactly. Yeah, they doing okay. They doing just fine. We need somebody to come back and level the playing field and take care of these people, bring the real salvation to the people that need it.
Yeah, because, you know, they preach that, well, he's coming back in love. He's coming back because he loves everybody. That's what they preach. They don't preach, because that's why they stay away from the book of Revelation. They don't preach he's coming back with fire, because he is going to destroy all this wickedness. I mean, they don't want him to want this destroyed. They want things to keep going. But like I said, this is the end. And Jacob's time is coming, the beginning.
Our people are so programmed and so deceived.
Well,
all praise to the Most High. That, you said we at the end of Esau's kingdom, and we headed towards the beginning of Jake's kingdom.
And the program is deep to the point that, like I said, even now, you know, if I think about the word Jesus, a picture of a white man pops or Edomite pops up in my head. Because it's been programmed to us for so long. And that's the good thing about me using the word Yeshua, because when I use Yeshua, I don't think about that picture. And that's one thing that they did. They got us with that name, with Jesus, and then that's why we think of that. Because by knowing the real name, like I said, I don't think of Yeshua.
You bring up a very good point, Brother D, because that name is associated with the programming. So even though we got Hebrews that's wanting to say that's his English name and it's okay to use it and there's power in that name, well, that's true, and we may have used it, but the programming of Caesar Borgia, the sixth pope's son, that name is associated with that pink booty dude. So you absolutely correct. When as soon as you say it, everybody reverts back to the picture. And when you say Yeshua, most people want to know who's Yeshua, and we say Revelations 1. Hair like lamb's wool, feet like brass.
Yeah, because when I first found out who that picture was, you know, because like I said, I mean, just look at what they did. I mean, this was a homosexual guy, a guy that slept with his sister, and that's who they're putting out there as our savior.
Brother D, they did a whole mini series of it on Showtime. Nobody knew what they were looking at, of the Caesar Borgia family.
I remember that. I did see that.
Yep, called the Borgias. People did not know see what I'm saying? How they put it right in your face.
Wicked family. Very wicked family.
Very wicked.
I mean, they're poisoning each other. And, I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, I like that point, though. You're absolutely right. So it's important to keep using the name. I know that as we talk about the older folks using the name Jesus and having power. You know, I probably talked about this years ago. I relate it, and I'm going to make it real simple, real quick, to a baby crying, and the mama hears the cry, and she knows just what the scream is, but don't understand what that baby's saying, but she hears it, and she come running. So it wasn't even so much the name for the ones who didn't know, because we were ignorant, and he blinks at our ignorance back in the day. But once you know, it's important to move into that Hebrew understanding. It is important.
Exactly. You know, all through the Old Testament and New Testament, Yah responded to Israel when they cried out to him. You know, I mean, they're going into all of these captivity, going into all of these issues with the people that they're living with, and it wasn't until they cried out to him to where he turned to them. And that's what we need to be doing today. We need to be crying out to the Most High.
That's right. The Most High, Yah. And I know I am is a Hayah in the Hebrew, but you got that Negro trying to pay for a trademark on that name and associate it with his camp. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I just had to say that.
Matter of fact, when he came out and he said, well, this is what I've learned and I've been told, and I'm going to share it with you now. You know, it's all a bunch of I.
I mean, it's in the Hebrew, but it's like he's trying to copyright and patent it. So, but all praises to the Most High King.
Yep, and it's just like the Most High said, Job, where were you?
Right.
All this eyes, where were you?
Yeah, right. So, all right, brothers and sisters, I didn't want to lose focus on that right there because it was a wonderful lesson, wonderful show, and just want to give the Most High praise for you being here, Brother D, and breaking up these precepts.
Well, all praise to the Most High, and thank the Most High.
Toda Rabbah.
Yeah, so just like this, you know, when 7 o'clock get here, because like you said, we got to go to the club.
Yeah, I know you got your suit ready so you can hit the club when the sun go down.
like Brother Jacob said, doing the stanky leg and the electric slide.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. No, I'm about to sit up here and enjoy the rest of the day because it's like it's hotter than fish grease where we live. So we try not to go outside.
I'm telling you, it's burning up there. It's hot down here, but I know up that way because I lived up there before. You know, it gets hot.
105.
Well, this is a good day for me to stay in the Word and relax, turn on my AC, and just spend time with the Most High.
Yep. So you Hebrews that live out here better stay in the house when you have a heat stroke or something like that. All praises to the Most High. So, all right, Brother D, I will, like I said, I appreciate it. I'll probably holler at you a little bit later on.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me here.
Hey, what's your last words? Holler at us. Say something to the people.
My last word is just to follow those commandments, say this word, and trust in the Most High, you know, because don't be afraid to call on him. Because you know that's he's long suffering. No matter what we do, and the things that we do that are against him, we come back sincerely asking for asking for his forgiveness and repenting. Then he'll be there for us, as he always has been.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. All right, my brother. To the Hebrews out there, enjoying your Shabbat. Good to be back saying the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already got it. Got a lot to learn because truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwam Yasha'Allah, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. I got